Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life or business. Well, welcome to the, let's see, is this on? All right, there we go. Well, welcome to the Friend of Friends Show, Ms. Sade Wyandotte.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
Yes, of course I have to have you. I mean, I am so impressed by all the sisters in the online marketing space who are just rocking it out. Yeah, and so I'm doing my best to introduce and, you know, do a little bit more, a little bit extra marketing where I can. For those who I see who are doing great things, and you're definitely one of the people who I see. So I was like, I wonder if she'd be willing to come on my small podcast. And you said yes. So here you are.
Your podcast isn't small.
You know.
It's okay. Not small, and of course.
That's like you and Tiffany not being famous. So, okay, I'll take it.
I'll accept it.
I'll take it.
You're almost famous. Not yet.
All right. So talk to, for any of the listeners who may not be familiar with what it is that you do. I know you as a, I believe, personal brand strategist, motivational speaker, life coach, PhD student, traveler, world traveler, proud member of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated.
Well, you said just about it all.
I did a little bit of my research, just a little bit.
Love it. Overall, I will say I am someone who wants to help women entrepreneurs succeed in life.
Okay.
Because I believe that if we take care of the women, everyone else will be taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
My ultimate goal is always to make sure that the women of any community that I am a part of are taken care of. Because once we have them, we have everyone. The kids are taken care of. The men are taken care of.
Yes.
The community, the government, everything is fine when the women are in charge.
Ooh.
Yes.
You said a word right there now.
When the women handle, it's handled. You know, like Scandal, when Olivia Pope is in charge, it's handled. So that's really my premise of my work as a full-time doctoral student and a full-time entrepreneur.
Wow.
And I really went into transitioning. I was really cool and confident. My background is in education. I taught overseas. I traveled the world training teachers and training students. Being a high school and middle school teacher / teacher trainer, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I decided that there was more that I needed to do. So while I was still overseas, I got my life coaching certificate online. Mm-hmm. And I came back to the US. And while I was building this brand as a speaker and coach, people kept coming up to me asking me, how are you building a brand? How are you doing this? How are you doing this? And I said, why do they keep asking me this? I didn't understand what they saw and why they decided that I was the one who had the answer. Mm. And through that journey of building my own brand online, I realized that I fell in love with branding, the branding part, the visibility and the marketing and putting ideas and concepts together. Mm-hmm. And I slowly but surely transitioned from promoting myself or branding myself as a life coach into more of a personal brand strategist. Mm-hmm. And ever since I decided to fully allow myself to do online brand strategy and marketing for women entrepreneurs, I have been super duper happy about it. It was scary in the beginning, but I'm happy that I switched over.
I love it. So talk a little bit about that. You said it was scary in the beginning. How do you, and I know this is a question, because I talk to a lot, you know, quite a few women as well. And so a lot of women feel they're not used to moving in spite of the fear. So what do you, I mean, you said that, I want to hear it from out of your mouth. You said that it was scary, but what did you do in order to like face the fear?
It was scary. Well, for me, I've physically moved multiple times within the past 5 years. I've lived in several states and in a different country and on a different continent, mm-hmm. in Central Asia. So literally I have physically moved multiple times. Almost every single year I have moved, whether it's in the same city, whether it's in the same country, or throughout different states. So movement is something that is normal in my life. It's a normative experience in my life. I'm always moving. As a matter of fact, I moved last week. So moving is just something that I'm used to.
Right. Now,
accepting the fact that I wanted to do something that I did not have a degree in was the scary part. Because I'm used to, I was always a high achieving student.
Yes.
Always, you know, the salutatorian, the person, the top 10 student in the school, and always receiving accolades for being successful academic wise. And now I'm switching over to being an entrepreneur, and I don't have a degree in business. I didn't have a background in business. No one in my family is an entrepreneur. That was scary. And there was no one to really lean on to figure out, okay, is this the right decision? And why do I want to do this? And I'm building a business on something that I don't have credentials in. That was the scariest part, because I was so familiar with being celebrated for credentials that I had received in the past. Mm-hmm. So that part was scary, but I realized through being scared, I needed to do it anyway. Because, honestly, the biggest push to get things done was looking at the bills that come every month, looking at my bank account and saying, if you don't do something, you're going to have to go back to work.
Gotcha.
And really, that was really the push, that if you don't move forward, all the things that you have been building from this point forward are going to come tumbling, crashing down, because you won't be able to sustain the life that you've built for yourself.
Gotcha. So you did it anyway. What can you talk a little bit about what support you had?
So because I knew school, I knew when you don't know something, you find a teacher. You find someone that knows it, who's been there and done that to support you. So finding coaching, I invested a lot in coaching, and I still continue to do that because I believe in that's probably still that credentialed side of me. I'm going to say that. But I knew that looking at people who were where I wanted to be and having them mentor me and talk to me was going to be super important. Even when I was a younger girl, especially in a sorority, I was in the affiliate organization called the Rower Club, and we always went to professional development. We always went to conferences. We always had mentors and big sisters. So I came from a community and a mentality of, if you don't know something, you find someone who knows it so that they can help you out to get you where you want to be. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that far-fetched for me to invest in coaching. And I also knew that going in entrepreneurship, this was going to be a new journey, and I needed some new information and knowledge. Mm. And because I like school a lot, I'll say that was also a hindrance. I got excited with just learning things. I was like, I learned this at this conference. I worked with this coach. I was just going content crazy. I was becoming a content junkie, and I wasn't producing anything. I was hoarding all the information, learning, being in love with the fact that I knew things, getting stuck in my head and not producing. So no one knew the things that I knew. No products. I wasn't creating products or content based on the things that I knew. I just knew them. And I wasn't producing money. And I had to realize that enough was enough. If I wanted to be successful in business, I had to make money. That's a marker of being successful in business.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we flip, dice, and slice this puzzle of life. If I wanted to be successful in this particular field, I needed to make money. So I had to shift my energy from being a consumer of content to a producer of content so that I could get paid for packaging content for my audience.
I love it. Because you have a point. When we think about, I've seen your audience. I think your audience is similar to mine, primarily women of color. And I say all the time, you know, we are the most educated folk I know. Like, we got all the degrees and all the education. But when it comes to applying it, it seems like there's a disconnect. Or maybe there's just an extreme fear there. What do you think?
It's both.
Okay.
We are, African-American women are the most educated group in the United States. Woohoo, awesome. But we're still underpaid when it comes to our jobs. We still face economic hardships. And even if someone graduates with a four-year degree, there are still some opportunities for them to still live in poverty.
Yes.
Many of my friends, especially growing up as a millennial, you know, the millennial archetype is we live at home, we have a boatload of student loan debt, and we can't afford to live by ourselves because we have so much debt. Mm. We're really smart. We're really outgoing, but we have so much debt. And a lot of us have gone into entrepreneurship as a way out of that, to do something else, because we listened to our parents who grew up in the baby boomer generation who said, you know, go to school, get a good job. Go to school, get a good job. By the time we were able to get those good jobs, they did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer existed. And we were in a boatload of debt that even if we had a good job, it still didn't sustain our bills and our livelihood. So that entrepreneurial spirit was really in millennials because that was just really the only option.
Mm-hmm.
We had to find an additional side hustle to whatever we were doing. And it was just something that started, it's becoming more intrinsic and common. And I know as a woman of color who has a lot of degrees and credentials, we like to lean on that because it looks good. It looks good to say that, you know, doctor, you know, working on doctor ado and all this other stuff. It was really good. But I knew that there was more to me than just these letters behind my name.
Right. Right. Which is really powerful. What do you think your purpose is?
My purpose is to help other people find their purpose. That was scary. Because I knew that since I was young, that my purpose in life was to help other people find their purpose. And that's still scary to me today.
Why is that? Why is it scary?
Because it means that I cannot take my own purpose lightly.
Because
there are other people out there depending on me, waiting on me to ignite a fire inside of them that they didn't know existed.
Mm.
So that I can't, when I don't want to do something, when I don't want to put myself out there, when I just want to hide and take a nap, I can't do that because I know that there's someone out there waiting, praying, begging, pleading, wishing that they heard my message because it's going to change their life.
Wow. That's amazing. So let's see. How long ago did you start your business?
What year is this? I started my business when I was still overseas in Kazakhstan at the end of maybe June of 2014.
Okay.
And I started it and I was excited. And then for like the first 7 months of 2015, that's when I was a content hoarder. And I realized that I needed to do something because the money that I made overseas ran out and it was time for me to make some money or I was not going to be able to pay my bills. And then I transitioned. I said enough was enough. I transitioned into brand strategy a little bit over a year ago, about in July of 2015. And it's just been rocking and rolling since then.
So you said that you were a teacher. How did you make that transition? What was that process like?
When I was a teacher, and I had to go back and really understand myself, like, why do I like brand strategy? What is it about this particular niche that I really am enthralled with? I realized when I was in college, I was always on student government since like the sixth grade elementary school. I was always like the president and people, it was called an image at the time. I always wanted to have a great reputation or image. Mm-hmm. I was the person who people said was reliable, trustworthy, someone who had answers, someone you could rely on and depend on. That was always the brand that I was creating for myself since I was in elementary school. I always knew that I didn't want people to say bad things about me. I wanted them to say good things about me, and I needed to make sure that I projected this image of being a good student, being someone that people could depend on. Through that, I was able to project that in college also. Being mm-hmm. able to get multiple college scholarships, projecting that responsible, good student through college essays and scholarships, where people used to ask me for that. Like, how did you get all these scholarships? How did you get into school and graduate school? And students would always come to me with their essays and, can you read them? Do I look like do I fit into the mold of this XYZ college? Mm-hmm. So I was, and then I also, when I was young, since about 12 years old, I used to go door to door doing campaigns for elections, local elections, whether it was for the mayor, for the governor of the state of New Jersey. I was always involved in politics.
Oh, wow.
I realized I learned a lot about image and branding because I was groomed by politicians. Learned a lot. So I said, I've been doing branding for a long time. I just didn't know that was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
So slogans, you know, putting things together, talking to people. All of those things were things that I was doing when I was a preteen. So I had to really think about, why do I like this so much? And I realized it's something that I'd naturally been doing for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
So it just manifested differently, and especially with the power of live streaming and social media and technology, it just makes it easier for me. But it wasn't called branding at the time when I was doing it. And
okay.
I was cognizant that I was actually doing that.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, when you think about it, I think a lot of people, and you did a great job at this, you know, a lot of people try to sweep their previous experiences under the rug. And it's almost like, but that's how you make it to the top, is you use everything that you've had, everything that you've gone through as a way to take it to the next level. And that sounds like what you've done, which I think is amazing.
I want to say that I didn't do that in the beginning. I tried to I was like, I'm not a teacher anymore. Don't call me a teacher.
Okay.
I'm known as an educator. I don't care if I have these degrees. Don't look at me like that. Look at me as a brand strategist. Until every single time I tried to separate business and school, they always kept meshing together. And I was like, I would go to a business conference and people would ask me about my degree in school. I'm like, I'm not here to talk about school. I'm here to talk about business. So it just kept happening over and over and over. And then naturally through just me going to different places, I met a lot of entrepreneurs who were either pursuing PhDs or had already had them or were doctors. So I would always gravitate towards them.
Mm.
And we would talk about that. And some of my great friends, Dr. Ikeena Finch, who I met through Periscope, we talk about that all the time. She was a university dean who loves social media, who loves being in the online space. And we can talk about both of those pieces. So through me trying to avoid and keep them separate, they just naturally started to align, where sometimes anytime I'm in a class for my PhD and I can incorporate my love of branding and social media, I will. Like, I've had classes participate on Periscope and on Blab. My professors don't get it, but they allow me to do it. So it makes
look, so it don't even matter if they get it.
What is this?
As long as they move out the way. You ain't it?
I mean, they've allowed me to do papers on this and present to
I love it.
This technology. So I tried to keep them separate, but they mesh so well together. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being both.
Yeah. Well, girl, you know what they say. You can't run from destiny. Sound mm-hmm. like it's chasing you down.
It was trying to beat me down. It finally caught up to me. I accepted it.
Okay, so you mentioned your doctoral program. What are you pursuing? What is your program about?
It's a doctorate in education with a I'm in the Department of Curriculum and Instruction with a concentration in multicultural education.
Ooh.
I know it sounds all fancy, but basically I have kind of the freedom to do what I want.
that's what it boiled down to.
It boils down to I have the freedom to do what I want, but my research is really going to be about African American women
mm-hmm.
and looking at how they function in at predominantly white institutions, and just looking at how they become successful in places that there are not a lot of people that look like them.
Mm.
And through being online, I see that too. I see that happening all the time.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I see a lot of parallels from my research in the academy to what's happening online. And I'm like, this stuff is parallel. You know, who are the top people that people are always in their
come
name?
On.
The same names, like the same top five, top 10 men and women. And half of them, most of them are not women of color.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are not women. And we say these names over and over again, and they've been able to dominate this space. So for me, it's important to look at how Black women can also be in the online space and succeeding too, and also making money, because the huge differentiator is the amount of money that's being made by men online and the women. And there's huge gaps in that.
Well, and I agree. So what do you think Black women need to do in order to become, to either play at the same level of some of these other big names, or, you know, to even begin moving in that direction? What do we need to do?
The first thing that we need to do is realize that we are enough. Mm. We are good enough. We're just as good as XYZ marketer, this person who had a six-figure, seven-figure launch. We are just as good. We are just as competent. But this is another thing we have to do. We have to understand the value of the services that we provide. We can't always give out the homie discount and hookup. We eventually have to charge if we want to be successful in business. And we have to be okay with charging. We have a huge hang-up. There's a lot of money mindset issues with women in general that are keeping us keeping us below the radar and underpaid. Because once you're able to say that you make an XYZ income online, I know some people don't like when people brag about that, but that is what we understand in business. The measure of success in a business is how much money is being made.
Yeah.
And when we make money, we can make bigger impact.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately it boils down to the results that we bring to the table. And I think a large part of it is in our community. Most of us are not, we're the same, right? A lot of your story is, I mean, exactly parallel to mine. Moving a lot, first generation entrepreneur, definitely first generation online entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And so most of us aren't used to, because we've acquired all of this knowledge, right? Most of us are just used to talking about the knowledge that we've acquired and not really, okay, so what does it do? That's nice. You're going to teach me that, but what will I be able to accomplish as a result?
Absolutely. And honestly, the fact of the matter of why some of the guys are doing better and some of the other marketers are doing better is because they know how to market better. They're willing to put do the testing. They're willing to put their resources out there on the line. They're willing to do the things that most people are not willing to do, to have a lifestyle that most people will never be able to live. So when we understand that it's marketing, how come we know these names? It's because they're willing to invest in paid advertising. They're willing to invest in having major events. They're willing to start connecting and collaborating with other major names so that their name grows faster in the industry. There's some people you don't know them last month, but today they're just the new person on there because they understand marketing. And that is one of the things that we don't want to do. Partially because if we're unclear about how we serve people, we're afraid to put ourselves out there.
Yes.
It's the clarity, and then it's a combination of clarity and confidence. Then now we know what we want to do. We know who we want to serve. We actually got to do the work.
Yeah.
The work is hard.
So tell me this, because this is something I found. Tell me if you've seen this as well. My experience has been, even if you're unclear, and I mean, that is something that holds us hostage, right? That, you know, well, I'm not sure yet. But what I have found is that you only get sure when you say, you know what, screw it. It's like, oh, okay, maybe not that, try this. It's like, oh, okay, maybe not that, try this. It's like the tweaking and a little bit of, you know, a 1 degree turn here and a 2 degree turn there. Is that the same thing that you found in your experience?
That's really common with women in general, even in corporate space. Mm-hmm. Women are less likely to apply for a job that has a higher promotion. They're least likely to ask for a promotion or seek out a job that is a an increase in pay. And the reason is because we feel like, going back to that, we're not qualified for that job. We don't know how to do it. Whereas men will say, you know, we'll figure it out on the way. We'll figure it out along the way. Women feel like we have to be qualified to go to the next level. I can't be that XYZ earner until I do this, I do this, I do that. Whereas a lot of the men are like, listen, we'll figure it out along the way. We'll figure it out along the way.
So we create our own walls and challenges and fences where there actually may be none.
We have to be willing to fail. I do epic fails all the time. You got to be willing to fail. If you're not willing to fail, you're not willing to win.
I like that.
You got to be willing to make mistakes. You got to be willing to not have all the answers. You have to be willing to hear the no's if you want to get to the yeses. And it's scary. It's painful. I know you're looking at your wallet and your bank account, but if you really want to get to the next level, you got to be willing to hear, though. You got to be willing to fail.
That's awesome. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I want just a couple more questions. What's the best business advice you've ever gotten?
Keep going. Keep going. In October of last year, I was looking through. I go to school in Wisconsin. There's always jobs. Like, if you walk down the street, there's always a help wanted sign. And I was like, this whole business thing is not working. I need to let this go because I have bills to pay. And I was like, I'm going to look for a job. And my mother, it was her birthday that month. She was like, no, just keep going. It's okay. It's going to work out. And I was like, ugh, this is not working out. I need a job. I need some money in my account. Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally, 15 days later, I had like 7 days of just new clients. And I say to myself all the time, if I would have given up on October 15th, I never would have been able to see that October 31st success. And it was about 7 days, every single day, a new client said yes, yes, yes. It was just like a week of yeses.
Wow.
Transform my business. And a lot of us are on the October 15th looking around and saying to ourselves, we need to give up. And we can't hold out and push out and just wait out for that next 15 days that can be transformational for our business. And I will tell you, that was a rough month. And literally those 15 days later have catapulted my business up until today.
Wow. Was that really October 15th?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. 7 days from October 15th is what? Is that the 26th?
It was about 15 days. It was like the end of the month that on Halloween.
Okay.
So two weeks-ish, about October 15th to October 31st. And then that 31st, because I remember, because now we have live streaming, and I remember my Periscope that I said I had been preparing to do a launch, and it was going to be my first five-figure launch that we always hear about online. And I had a Periscope talking about how the scary truth, because I branded it to go along with Halloween, the scary truth about why I did not have my five-figure launch. And I told you all the things that I did wrong that month. And for some reason, after that live stream, and completely transparent about all the screw-ups that I made.
Isn't that something?
Turned around.
I love it. I love it. That actually leads it to my next question. What is the biggest fail you think you can say that you've ever had?
My biggest fails, I'm working on them.
You're trying to go bigger. Let's go.
One of the things that I know, I have a lot of favor. So things usually do work out. Even though they get tough, I know that they're going to work out. And I meet some amazing people. My biggest fails are not following up with some of those people. Because I get nervous and I get scared. And they'll tell me, contact me. We need to talk. And I've had some amazing people tell me to reach out to them. And that fear holds me back from wanting to really connect with them. And it's something I'm still working on that I definitely need to overcome, because I know I've left opportunities on the table and I've definitely left money on the table because of that fear.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it possible that you can outsource that task?
It is possible, and I should do that. and I have not been doing it, and I have the systems to do it. Okay, thank you. You solved the problem. Mary.
Bam. Yes, let's make that mess happen.
That's what happens when you have accountability. Okay.
We're going to get you somebody, a VA or somebody. You're just going to write the form of the letter, and you can send them the name and the circumstance, and boom, the letter is done. The VA will send it. You ain't got to worry about it.
I'm going to do that.
Yay!
It's still scary, but I'm going to do it.
Okay. You've been scared before.
You know what? That's what I need to start saying to myself. You've been scared before. This is not the first time.
Okay, so two more questions. Okay, are you related to Sade?
No, my father named me Sade Adu because he wanted me to be famous.
Girl, shut up.
My father was born in Ghana. Sade is
Nigerian
and German, I believe. I can't remember where her other parent is from. Her mother is from, I believe. But I was born in the 80s. She was very popular, and my father wanted me to be famous.
I love it.
That's why I am named Sade. And then my last name was already Adu, so it just worked out.
I love it. Okay, so what's next for you, Miss Sade, why I do?
Next.
Yes.
The next thing is really taking it to the next level. Mm-hmm. Now that I produce some results for clients and I feel a little bit more confident, it's time to stop playing small. You know, it's great to feel good about where we've gone so far, but I know that there's so much more that is in store that I need to stop playing small. So I'm asking more people for help. I'm delegating more tasks like you talked about, mm-hmm. and really getting some things in order because my ultimate goal is still to finish school. Mm-hmm. So I want to really start putting some better systems in place so that I can automate my business and it be running passively online while I'm in the library. So that's really my focus right now until school begins, really getting some systems in order and having a team to run things on my behalf when I can't do it.
I love it. Well, I say freedom requires friends. So it sounds like you are definitely on your way to the ultimate freedom. One last question. What's your favorite song?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. I have like some top 10 songs. I mean,
what comes to mind first?
The first song that just came to
mind. And I hope it's something ratchet.
It is. The first song that came to my mind was Get Money.
Yes! We going with it. Are we talking about Lil' Kim Get Money or something else?
Yes.
Yes!
Oh, my goodness. That was the first song that came to my mind.
Okay, we going with that.
It's definitely in the top 10, but that's what came to my mind first.
We going with that. Because you know what? What's funny? The song that comes to mind is the song that we probably most need to hear. And not just you, but anybody who hears this episode probably needs to hear that song right now. Right now. To motivate them and get them hyped and excited about whatever admin task that they refuse to outsource.
Oh my goodness, that is too funny.
Well, I thank you. Where can we find you?
You can stay connected to me. So I'm in the process of rebranding my website. So I'm going to send you guys to my Facebook group. You okay. can go to breakfastbranding.com, and you can find us in our awesome Facebook group where we have a community of entrepreneurs who want to do more, be more, and have more in their life.
Wait a minute. Now, is that not a Biggie quote? You can have what you want, be what you want. I love it. You better bring it.
You know, I never thought about that. But
that's what happened when you listen to all of to Get Money too many times. It pops up in this damnedest of places.
That is too funny.
I love it. Well, thank you, Ms. Sade. I am definitely eternally grateful that you agreed to come on to the Freedom Friends Show. It has been a pleasure and an honor having you. I'll have to have you come back again.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, part 2 is going to be even greater things to talk about.
I love it. So this has been, of course, the Freedom Friends Show, where freedom requires friends. Definitely go check out Ms. Sade Wyadu's Facebook group at breakfastbranding.com and go make some new friends. That Facebook group is a perfect place. Y'all have a good one.
This episode of the Freedom Friends Show is brought to you by the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge. If you're ready to take back your power and achieve all of your dreams and goals, then join the Coach Your Damn Self Challenge today. That's CoachYadamnSelf.com. CoachYourDamnSelf.com.